Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Over the last several weeks, I have taken quite a lot of time in this series of In and Out, endeavoring to communicate this really one simple idea, which is the condition of your exterior life is primarily influenced by the condition of your inner life. In other words, what goes on inside affects what happens outside. However, we live in a world that has kind of come to the conclusion that we are the sum total of our circumstances. But God says, you are not the sum total of your circumstance. You are the sum total of what my Son has created you to be through his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, your external circumstances are to be responded to based on an inner working that Christ has done in your life. Your inner man, your spirit man, at the moment you gave your heart and life to Christ, became radically and miraculously transformed and renewed, forever changed. The issue of sin was dealt with by Jesus on the cross, and we put our confidence in him. He changes us and rearranges us from the inside out. And so, on the inside, every Christ follower has been made perfect in the eyes of God. How cool is that? That when God sees you, he sees you just like he sees his own son. That's awesome. Let me say that again. When God sees you, he sees you just like he sees his own son. So when the Father looks at the right hand of the Son, he sees you in him. How many of you think that our Heavenly Father is pleased with his Son? And if he's pleased with his Son, and you're in him, then he's pleased with you. Now, there are things that you do that he's not pleased with. There are things that you do that you're not pleased with. And so here's the tension. The tension is, what happens when this miraculous transformation that's on the inside of you doesn't walk parallel to your experience circumstantially? What happens when this recreated spirit man has to actually live out our salvation through fear and trembling? Here's what happens. Your mind and emotions get involved. Your desires get involved. And they gunk up the works. And so the thing you want to do, you end up not doing because your mind and your emotions kind of seem to want to do their own thing a lot of times. Let me say it to you this way. You can put your faith and confidence in Christ and be eternally bound for heaven and still be all screwed up. How many know that's true? How many know that you can? How many of you know someone who's all screwed up? Let me see your hands. How many are sitting next to that person right now? If you're watching online, share this with someone who's really screwed up, okay? Just tag them directly. And so what do we do? Jesus dealt with sin, but we have to deal with emotions and mental things. And let me just say, I'm really saddened that the church as a whole, and specifically our church, doesn't have a better handle on what it means to be healthy mentally and healthy emotionally. It's a big, big problem. And I believe this, that with the exception of sin, there's an incredibly strong barrier that stands between you and God's best for you, and that barrier is something called insecurity. And everyone in this place has to deal with insecurity. And if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. Everyone in here, I don't know if it should be comforting or if it should make you more insecure that everyone you know deals with insecurity. Like, it kind of makes me feel secure, and as preparing for this, it's interesting that I was insecure about talking about insecurity. Isn't that weird how that works? Because it gunks us up. But in Proverbs chapter 4, we have the foundation of the things that I've shared with you over the last several weeks, and they're gonna put it on screen. It says this: guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, flows the issues of life. This is what I'm saying to you. The inner working of God's Spirit, it flows from the inside out, and your life is supposed to be lived from the inside out, not from the outside in. In other words, you can determine the outcome of your outer world when you properly manage your inner world, when you acknowledge these things that are living on the inside of you. It's a step to becoming more free than you've ever been. We're going to look at an individual named Saul, and he dealt with some insecurity. He dealt with a lot of insecurity, and his insecurity was wrapped up in several things, and we're not going to look at every single scripture reference, but I want to just kind of give you some thoughts about what insecurity looks like so that you can identify it and then disarm it. You can kind of get a place where you disempower it from your life. Saul is helping his dad, and the nation of Israel wants a king. This is the context. And so the nation of Israel asks for a king. And God says, okay, you can have a king. And Samuel, who is a spiritual leader, a prophet in the Old Testament, goes and identifies Saul and says, you're to be the king of Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we see Samuel and Saul interacting. And the chapter begins by telling you a little bit about Saul. And it says about Saul that he's physically taller and stronger than everyone else. He's more attractive than the average guy. He's got charisma coming out of his ears. He's just an incredible person through gifts, talents, and abilities. He's got everything that a person would want. He's the one that people want to be like from an outer kind of determination, but yet internally, he's a mess. You know, you can have it going on the outside and be riddled with insecurity on the inside. You can look like you have everything, every duck in a row, everything going well. It can all be a facade and just a game that you're trying to convince other people of how perfect you are. And God sees through all of that. And so Samuel says, you're the one to be chosen. And he's got all this stuff going for him. But look at Saul's response in 1 Samuel 9, verse 21. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? So Saul's got all this stuff going on. His family, they are one percenters. I mean, they've got wealth and everything. And here is what Saul does. All these outer things are working well, but internally he's riddled with insecurity. And he says, why would you pick me? I'm a part of the smallest tribe. In those days, the nation was broken down into 12 smaller groups that were families. They said heads of families. And he's like, I'm in the tribe of Benjamin. It's the weakest tribe. We're the redneck tribe. We're the tribe that nobody wants to be around. We're the tribe that nobody likes. We're the outcast tribe. And in the outcast tribe, we're the lowest of the families in the leadership. We're the lowest of the low. And so where God says, I choose you, Saul says, I'm consumed by the thoughts that I have about the opinions of others in my life. And therefore, right from the beginning, Saul can never rise to the heights of what God has called him to because he's riddled with insecurity. He's riddled with things like self-doubt. He's riddled with things like second-guessing himself. He's contaminated with ideas about I can't do anything, I'm not anyone. He never can see the good in anything. He sees everything in his world through a negative lens. I don't know, but I would think that Samuel could have been sent to anyone for this assignment. It's kind of a big deal. God says, you're to be the king. And Saul's like, I think it stinks. I don't want it. See, insecurity causes you to see positive, good things through a negative lens. It's impossible for the eyes of insecurity to see the positive things that God is doing in your life. Everything is reduced to the lowest common denominator. Everything is reduced to the lowest limit. In other words, insecurity lowers us. It doesn't lift us. And he, in his own mind, in who he is and how he thinks, he's like, I'm nobody. I'm no one. It blocks. Insecurity blocks our affirmation. Insecurity, if you fast forward a little bit in Saul's life and you begin to read chapters like 9 through 17, you can see some of this story unfold. A guy is introduced into Saul's life. His name is David. Maybe you've heard of him. He killed a giant, and he used Saul's armor to do it. And the greatest enemy that Saul has ever faced is defeated by David. And in a moment where Saul should be thrilled because his nation is ransomed and redeemed from an enemy, Saul gets defensive, and he begins to build up walls, begins to get angry at David and David's influence and David's talents and David's abilities. Insecurity gets real defensive. How many of you know, don't lift your hand, but we all know someone who they'll blow out your candle in order to make theirs brighter. They're so riddled with their own self-doubt that they can't deal with you being who you know you're supposed to be and you walking in success and victory. Say things like, well, who would ever want something like that? It's just more to fix. They get so defensive when other people with their gifts and talents and abilities come to the forefront. Then something begins to happen in the nation. This popularity for David rises. And Saul gets really, really defensive and begins to compare. The nation begins to sing songs. And they say, sing this one song that goes like this. Yeah, Saul killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands, thus increasing the level of insecurity into Saul to where he goes down to the depths of discouragement. Listen, insecurity is fed by discouragement, and it's developed in the dark room of negativity. And Saul is dealing with depression and demonic attacks and all this stuff in his soul that's gunked up. And he invites David in to sing a song. Then, because he's so insecure, and it's come to the point that he believes that David is the problem, he uses David as target practice for his spear throwing. How many think Daniel wouldn't be here next week if this week he was our crossbow target? This is the relationship. And it gets full on. The end of it, Saul can't get past his past. The comparisons eat him up, and he ends up out in the wilderness and beside himself. Every single person in this place has to deal with insecurity. And insecurity will drive us to dark places, but there's an answer. There is a power available to us in Christ's redemption for us that can cause us to be aware of these insecure moments, to rise above them, to gain freedom and power and victory over them and finish the course that God has called us to with such abundant joy. Such exceeding joy. See, in other words, guys, there's good news. You don't have to stay trapped. I don't have to stay trapped in our insecurities. We can rise above that and blitz through that barrier that will keep us from God's best. In Isaiah chapter 54, there's an incredible verse of scripture. In verse 1, here's what it says. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. So here's what Isaiah does. He isolates a group of individuals who have been outcasts of their culture and their society, and he tells them to do the exact opposite of what they feel like doing. The very person who has been disgraced and shamed and mocked and ridiculed because of some inability inside of them, God says, listen, you may be barren in people's eyes, but when I look at you, I see a fertile ground of increase. In other words, when we experience lack, God sees our ground of life as a place where he can add provision and increase. When our experience has been defeat, he wants us to see ourselves as victors and overcomers. When we see things through the dark, negative lens, he wants to uncover his true identity in you and through you. But it takes an act of you doing something that doesn't feel right, that feels like the opposite of what you should do. He tells the woman who cannot bear child, sing. And in this, we begin to see a glimpse of the answer. Insecurity begins to lose its power over us when we recognize its presence in us. When we say it's there, and we communicate it, and we endeavor to shine the light on it. Several years ago, in the very beginning of our church, my wife came to me. Spouses, we need to adopt this. This is the point that I'm making. My wife came to me and she said, Josh, I'm a little bit insecure about this one individual. And it was a person of the opposite sex. It was another lady. And she said, I'm feeling a little bit insecure about this lady. I said, why? I think she might like you. Well, of course she likes me. Duh. Like, what's not to like? You know what I mean? She's like, no. Like, she likes you. I'm like, you're crazy. What did I do? I dismissed her vulnerability and her insecurity. A couple weeks later, right in front of my wife, this individual invites me on a trip with them, just the two of us. You're not nearly as shocked as you ought to be. That's weird. Okay, let me break it down just for someone online. You don't invite a married person on a trip by themselves with another married person. Yeah. They went nuts online. You all are still like, really? You don't? Better. I need to. Sure about that? No, I'm positive. You don't do that. And so her insecurity was there, and I had a choice. I could either listen and say and affirm, baby, you got nothing to worry about, or I could dismiss it. So oftentimes when people share with us their shortcomings, their insecurities, they're being as vulnerable as they can be, and we just absolutely walk past it. And we say, wait a minute, talk to me more about that. I want to know more so that I can help walk through that. See, the insecurity that's in us wants to stay in us. And there's something about it that I don't know if it's appropriate to personify it, but I try to, because it feels like it has a life of its own and it wants to stay in us. And when we verbalize it, it lets it out of us, and we take a step in the right direction toward it losing its stranglehold on us. Us saying things like, I don't do that very well. I'm terrible at that. Can I tell you, sometimes I feel insecure about my abilities to do what God has called me to do. Do you know, sometimes I feel insecure about being in front of y'all every weekend. Like, I feel insecure. Like sometimes when I'm out in public and people know my name and I don't know theirs, I feel insecure that they're gonna be insecure because I don't know who they are. You see how insecurity, what does it do? It breeds more insecurity. Do you wanna know what one of the most powerful things you can do if you're a dad is? One of the most powerful things you can do is you can lead with from a point of security that says, forever and ever, Jesus has solved the sin problem in my life. There's nothing else in this world that can come against me and derail me unless I give it a voice, unless I give it place, and unless I give it a life of its own. Otherwise, he has conquered it all for us. So how do we overcome it? Verbalize it. There's this verse that Jesus says in Mark chapter 11. And here's in a nutshell what it says. There are going to be mountains in your life, and you can deal with your mountains. And the way you deal with your mountains is you talk to them. And you tell them to get up and get out of the way. And when you talk to your mountain has to move. It doesn't get a vote. It doesn't need a quorum. It doesn't need cooperation. All it needs is your voice. When you speak to that barrier of insecurity, it doesn't get a vote. It has to leave your life because your words are the most powerful thing in your life. And as long as insecurity is rising up and having a voice, your voice will be strangled. Yeah. Listen. On the other side of that barrier and that mountain, here's what I want you to see. On the other side of that insecurity, here's what Isaiah is telling us. There are good things in your life on the other side of that mountain. All you need to do is speak to it. Some people get confused because they think Jesus wants you to talk about your mountain. And it goes like this. Man, that's really big. I don't think we have enough gear, y'all. I don't think we have enough rations to get through the hike. I don't think we brought enough trail mix, George. That's not a lot there. You know, that's a really... No. Don't talk about the mountain. Talk to it. And here's how I talk to mine. Yo, mountain, get up and get out the way in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Just move. And then you just start walking by faith as though you may or may not have to make a little bit of a climb. It may be a little hill. It may be a little bit more than you want. But you just head toward that mountain in faith, knowing that Jesus' words are true. And when you speak to the mountain of insecurity, it must obey you. Your words have power. Your words have strength. But as long as you let the voice of your inner critic and inner insecurity be the most heard, you will never rise to the heights that God has called you to. Never will. Never will. Daniel's going to come and help me because I'm surely out of time. But I think on this idea of speaking words, an old song came into mind. And I'm concerned that some younger people and some new people to the faith may lose the power that is in some of the old-time hymns and some of the old-time songs. There's one that comes to mind. It goes like this. I won't sing it. You're welcome. But it goes like this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Listen, Jesus took care of the sin problem of our life, and he releases us and empowers us by the person of the Holy Spirit to deal with the insecurity issues in our life. And the blood of Jesus has never, will never lose its power. I want you to really bow your heads and close your eyes. My prayer is really, really simple. My hope is really, really simple. If you've never experienced the freedom that Jesus has to offer, I want you to experience that today through the new birth. Jesus said this, you must be born again. It's an imperative. You must be. And I want you to experience that before you leave. If you have already experienced that, the next thing I want for you is for you to walk today out of this place and into your new level of freedom. I was thinking about this morning. And here was the thought and the idea that hit me. I was kind of talking with God over these things. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't really want to embellish or overstate the case about how good you are. And here's what he said back to me. Josh, it's an impossibility. You cannot overstate how good I am and how good I want to be to you, because I am exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So no matter what level of goodness or freedom you have in mind that God has in store for you, he's got more than that. It's impossible to overstate it. Student, it's impossible to overstate how much he loves you. It's impossible to overstate how much he thinks about you. But when you get stuck in viewing your circumstances, you'll miss and lose sight of what God really has for you. The enemy wants all of us, young, middle-aged, older people, to stay stuck in the realm of our circumstances. Well, I can't explain why this happened. I don't know why that happened. This thing happened and I don't really like it. It kind of bums me out. And I look at this and I look at that, and the enemy has you trapped exactly where he wants you, in the realm of your outer world, in the realm of your circumstances. And when life changes for you, it's when you look at the inner world. And so, anyone here, anyone watching online, you say, Josh, I have never experienced freedom in Christ, or I know what it means to put my heart's faith and confidence toward him, but I haven't been walking with him like I should. On either one of those things right now, you say, Josh, that's me. I want to make a change. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want to reinvite him into my life. Right now, all over this place and watching online, would you just put your hand up and say, Josh, that's me, if that's you. Go ahead and do that now. Yes, thank you, thank you. Anyone else join these three? If you're online, there's a place for you to respond. Someone will pray with you and connect with you. Anybody else? That's awesome. My next prayer is this. I believe that it's possible as you step into the next level of freedom that you can leave this place with the sense that a 2-ton weight has been lifted off of your shoulders and off of your chest. And if you've been living with the weight and the stress and the pressure of things and stuff and life and insecurity, and you're ready today to take a next step into freedom, all over this place and online, I want you to throw up both hands and say, Josh, that's me. Do it now if you would. Say, that's me. I need. There's a weight and a pressure on me that I need to lift. Put a hand or two up right now, right where you are. Leave it up there, way high. Father, we thank you for every person. And as they leave today, here's what we say. That mountain of discouragement and despair and pressure and worry of the future, it has to leave them in Jesus' name. We say, mountain, get out of the way in the name of Jesus the Christ. We believe it's done. For those who are making a decision to put Jesus as the first place in their life, I want everybody in here watching online pray this, but everybody in here, whether you've prayed it dozens of times before or if this is your very first time, pray it out loud with those today. Everybody in the house, repeat this after me, please. Say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son, and I will follow him all the days of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's make some noise, y'all. Woo!
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.